Hello, everybody. Hi, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of the Ecom Sales Tax Podcast. I'm here, Andy Johnson, with my co-host, Dan Peisner. Hi, Dan.
Hi there, Andy.
How's it going in sunny Dallas?
Not sure. Don't know that I would call this sunny right now.
Overcast.
Overcast and foggy all day.
Oh, my. Nothing like sunny St. George for constant sunny weather. Anyway, Dan, thank you for being here. Today's topic, I got reading maybe earlier today or yesterday and just looking over just e-commerce in general and found a statistic that said that Shopify is by far the most popular platform for businesses trying to sell on their own websites. That sound right to you?
That does. I've seen that in a lot of our clients that have sales directly from their website. They use Shopify to kind of facilitate things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Apparently you can just have a Facebook page and you can hook that up to your Shopify and boom, you have yourself a store, online store. So Shopify in reviewing their, so the question is, how does that relate to sales tax? Well, then we need to cover, if you do use Shopify, what do you do about sales tax? And the first thing, you always start with Nexus, right? We have to figure out where you have Nexus and therefore where you should be collecting sales tax. And then we need to just figure out how, you're saying Shopify is a facilitator, how do they facilitate the sales tax collection? How sophisticated are they? Because we know there's somewhere in the order of 12,000, 13,000 taxing jurisdictions. And so, if you're selling to customers through your website, you could theoretically have a customer anywhere in the U.S. at any time. And so potentially you have to charge sales tax wherever that customer is. So that has to be a fairly sophisticated process. Let's contrast that with sellers on Amazon. So if I use Shopify, people are still coming to my store, right? They're coming to my Facebook page and buying something from me, or even to a more sophisticated, online store, but it's still my store, right? Right. On the other hand, if I am an FBA seller through Amazon, people are coming to Amazon, the everything store, and the vendors are almost transparent, right? Almost invisible. You're really buying from Amazon. You're buying from Amazon because it's convenient, because of the return policies, the whole experience, right? So Amazon is actually collecting your money and will collect your sales tax for you. On the other hand, Shopify is not the vendor. You are the vendor. You're the brand. You're the vendor. But Shopify enables you to collect sales tax through your shopping cart. So it's a little bit of a difference. And that's why I want to make sure people understand that neither Amazon, Shopify does not collect your taxes and remit it for you. But Amazon is getting into that business more and more. You were just mentioning that how recently did Amazon say what they're going to do in New Jersey?
October 31st for a November 1 start.
Oh, so a great Halloween horror story. Amazon says we're going to now remit taxes in New Jersey on behalf of FBA sellers starting tomorrow.
Yes, that was, we knew that, we saw that the law had passed, and so we were kind of expecting it. On occasion, the laws leave little outs where a facilitator can decide to just do notice and reporting instead. Amazon's done this with Rhode Island, so I was I was expecting them to do it with collect and remit in New Jersey. I don't say for sure they will until I see Amazon say that they're doing it. So I had been watching and I didn't see it, and then all of a sudden later in the day there it was.
So that's what's going to happen in New Jersey. We can cover some more details about New Jersey and Amazon. But you can see that in some states, Amazon will probably collect and remit the taxes because the states passed those laws. Other states don't want Amazon to do that. So it's a really a mixed bag if you sell through Amazon. But if you sell through your own website using Shopify, the most popular shopping cart software, then we need to go through and help you make sure you set it up right. So, Dan, I want to welcome in Ryan Johnson. And Ryan is a manager in our practice and has been heavily involved in doing sales tax returns for online e-commerce sellers for years now. And also, hi, Ryan.
Hey, Andy. Dan.
Ryan.
Hey, Ryan. And I also want to welcome in special guest for today is Reagan. Reagan is the heads up our team that helps companies decide where they have Nexus, helps them get registered, helps get them set up on Amazon, Shopify, eBay. What else, Reagan? What other stuff are you helping?
There's House. We do Price Falls. We can do almost anywhere. We also have like TaxJar and stuff like that too. Help people with Avalara. Right.
Okay, yeah. So TrustFile, TaxJar, perfect. Thank you for reminding me of that. So really, one of our goals is for a lot of people that come to us, we really try to show you how you can do this yourself. And for larger clients that have, you know, multiple platforms, that's where they typically need us to kind of step in and just handle the whole process for them. But for many people, they just need some direction. And that's the spirit of what we're going to share with you today is how can you set up Shopify? So I'm just going to go through the instructions and I want to invite our team. I just messed this up. I want to invite our team to just go ahead and comment as I go through the instructions. So this is just publicly available information on the Shopify website. If you just Google Shopify sales tax setup, then you'll find this. So there's some a good definition of Nexus. There's some confusing stuff here about destination and origin basis. I have found this on various websites where I think it's just overly emphasized and confusing to make a big deal out of origin versus destination basis. What do you think, Dan?
Well, it's origin and destination basis are, I've kind of got mixed feelings on the subject. It's a very, very, it gets into very, very complicated taxability in the different states. California, I was watching a feed on their a meeting they had on Wayfair, and I literally saw a room full of people I knew to be experts getting confused on what California was even talking about in relationship to the origin source taxing. So the experts can't even figure this stuff out some of the time. But I think some people do get very caught up on origin sourcing versus destination sourcing and getting it.
It's some basic rule that you might like the first thing you need to know about sales tax is that there are origin states and destination states. Like if it's an origin state, you don't have to worry about anything else. It's kind of the message that I get, which is false, right? Origin base states, good general rule is, if you are selling across state lines, then the tax that you have to charge is determined by the rules in the destination state. Have I said that right, Dan?
Yes.
On the other hand, in the unusual situation, particularly for e-commerce sellers, where both the shipment and the ship from location and the ship to location on a given transaction are wholly within one state, then the tax rate that you would charge in an origin-based state would be based at least partially on the origin from which you ship the product. It could also be partially based on the destination within that state. Texas is a good example. California is another good example of that kind of a hybrid origin destination. So it's confusing if people say to themselves, oh, okay, well, we're an origin-based state like Texas, so that's all we need to care about. No, no, it does complicate matters for shipments made within Texas. It gets a little more complicated what rate you charge. But if you're shipping from Texas to another origin-based state like Arizona, then you would charge the tax rate at the destination in Arizona that you're shipping to. So don't get overly like, oh, this is simple. All I have to worry about is the destination-based states. Now, anything you want to add to that, Ryan or Dan or Reagan?
Yeah, you know, I've talked to a lot of e-commerce sellers, and they are actually very confused, and they're afraid because they don't know what to do, because they're reading stuff like this, and like, oh no, like I don't even know where. It's like, how do I know? And so, yeah, it gets very confusing. If you don't know the lingo, it can be very confusing. So it is good to consult with a tax expert just to know exactly. Because every time I get off the phone with them, like, okay, now I can breathe, I can relax.
Right. Maybe it just makes the software that much more valuable to make it seem so complicated. I don't know. But really, when you're shipping goods from a warehouse in one state to a customer in another state, regardless of origin, destination, it's the sales tax in effect at your customer location. Dan or Reagan, anything you want to add on that? Apparently, nothing.
No.
Crickets. All right. It also has a little definition of remote seller. So that's probably helpful just because sometimes you see businesses referred to as remote sellers. That just means if you're in one state and you have a customer in another state, you are remote to that other state, okay? It's these examples that I want to go over. So these examples apply to the Shopify platform. So the great thing about Shopify is that I think it's like not Little Red Riding Hood, but it's who finds like the medium-sized bed and it's perfect?
Goldilocks.
It's Goldilocks, right? Because sales tax can be so complicated, 13,000 taxing jurisdictions, origin versus destination. And theoretically, if you sell something on your website, you can have a customer anywhere and be super complicated. You have to have a really sophisticated database to do this right. But if you're just a medium to low volume seller and you just want to do stuff that's pretty much right, then Shopify is great, because on one extreme you have, I think at Walmart, probably the most sophisticated tax collection system for online sellers. And then next would be Amazon, where you have to really decide exactly what local jurisdictions you're going to collect in, exactly what tax code applies to every SKU that you have that you're selling. And then that's one extreme, Walmart and Amazon. And then at the other extreme, you have eBay. And eBay, you get to designate what tax rate do you want to apply to shipments made to this state. And so you're basically going to say, I guess I'll charge the highest tax rate possible, but you could be overcharging someone. You could be charging them double the tax that they owe. And you have to weigh that against charging them half the tax that they owe. Which way do you want to go? So you typically say, well, I'll charge the highest rate. So that's kind of like the bull in the china closet approach versus Walmart, which is very, very granular. So Shopify, at least this basic level, is kind of in the middle of that spectrum where it's got enough flexibility for many, you know, maybe 90% of their sellers, and it's really actually pretty good. So I'll go through the instructions on how to set it up, but I want to cover some examples. So in their example, you have a store location, and if you sell from your website and you're operating out of your home office, then you're in Orlando, Florida. So that's one place you have nexus, and potentially you have no physical presence, no economic presence anywhere else. In that case, if you sell to a customer in Miami, then you charge tax because you're in Florida. And then and you're shipping it from a location in Florida. Florida is not an origin-based state. So the specific tax rate that you're going to charge to your customer is based on their zip code. All right? Now, zip code, a five-digit zip code, even in this scenario, is not perfect, right? You really need like the rooftop address, exactly where they are, because even a nine-digit zip code is not perfect. But a five-digit zip code is really kind of like, yikes, you know, you can have variations of 1-3% in there, but it's good enough for most sellers. And by the way, anybody want to raise your hand and say something, feel free, because I'm just going to barge ahead. On the other hand, you're this Orlando person, right? And you sell to a customer in New York, and Miami or Florida is a destination state. Does that matter? Like my kids used to say, it doesn't care. Right? It doesn't care.
It does not.
You don't have nexus in New York, it doesn't care. Right? You don't charge tax in New York. Let's go to the next example, Pittsburgh. You're in Pittsburgh and you're not in any other place, no nexus, no economic presence, no physical presence, and you sell to a customer in Harrisburg. You're going to charge Pennsylvania tax because that's where you have nexus, but Pennsylvania being an origin-based state, now it's not about the address. Now the shipment is totally within Pennsylvania, so that's why this matters here. And Shopify says, we're pretty sophisticated. We're going to use the zip code of your own address, your store address, not the address zip code in Harrisburg. They're saying, hey, we got this down. We figured out this origin versus destination. And in this case, it looks good. If you sell to a customer in New York, it doesn't care.
So to clarify, so say you don't have a physical presence in Pennsylvania, though you have nexus, then you're going to be, it's just going to be the destination of the product. So to the seller.
If your product is being shipped from outside of Pennsylvania to a zip code in Harrisburg, then the tax you should charge is the tax at your customer's location in Harrisburg. Whether or not Shopify can do that correctly is another question, but that's what you should charge. Got it?
Got it.
All right. Now let's talk California. Dan, we're about to get into an example I think that we're going to need your expertise in, so be ready. So in this case, you have a store in San Francisco. That's where your shop is located. It's where you run your website from, whatever, and a distribution center in Seattle. So I'm assuming that you ship goods from California, sometimes from Washington. You have a customer in San Jose, and you're going to charge California tax, right? Because that's where you have nexus. On this one, Dan, it doesn't say this, but I'm assuming the product was shipped from your store in California. It says... That's a reasonable assumption, right? Especially yep. The way they're going to say this. They said the state, county, and city taxes are based on your store's zip code, but the district taxes are based on the buyer's zip code in San Jose. All right, Dan, I'm going to put you on the spot. Okay. Let's say that good was being shipped from your warehouse in your distribution center in Seattle. Then what?
Oh, if it was shipped from your distribution center in Seattle and being shipped to
San Jose,
I'm going to have to go with, I'm going to guess because I don't have the code up in front of me, but I'm going to guess that would all be destination sourced.
Good guess, Dan. But we're even potentially, this is what you were saying, looking at watching that presentation, and it stumped everybody. Now, Nan, you have a customer in Olympia, Washington. You have Nexus there, so you're going to charge tax. Notice they're very careful not to say what tax, right? This is really carefully. Assume, Dan, that the product, I guess it doesn't matter, right? The product could be coming from the distribution center in Seattle or could be coming from your store in California. But I think in this case, they must be assuming that the product is coming from your store in California. Look what Shopify does. Shopify says the state, county, and city taxes are based on your store zip code, but the district taxes are based on the buyer's zip code in Olympia. What's your reaction to that?
That is, I was not aware off the top of my head that Washington had districts per se, but that's
questionable, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. That is questionable.
That may be saying how Shopify does it. It's not saying how it should be done. But I would want some further input from Shopify on that specific example. But again, I'm going to give you the solution. If you're a high volume seller and you know you make thousands of transactions like this, then you want a more sophisticated solution. All right. The process for getting this all set up, Reagan, why don't you just walk us through with an e-commerce seller that uses Shopify and they want to set up automatic taxes, why don't you just tell us how you do it for them? And so, and basically you're telling them, here's what you can do.
Yeah. So, in Shopify, you have your settings. So you go to your settings and then from there, once you click it, they'll bring up a lot of options, but at the top in the middle of it says taxes. Once you click on the taxes, it does. It lists a lot. Canada, United States. That's one reason I really like Shopify is because we have a lot of clients that do sell into Canada. So we can do Canada as well as the United States. So it's a lot of other platforms don't offer Canada.
Oh, good point. Good point.
So we could go into the United States. You click into it. And then from here, you can enter whatever state you have presence in. And then the zip code.
Right. We checked calculate taxes automatically.
Automatically, yeah.
We did not check the box that says include taxes in the price, right? Don't check that box.
Nope.
And we did not check the box that said the box about shipping.
Yeah, we don't check either one of those.
Good. All right. So sorry, I was trying to back up you.
No, you're good. So you can, for most like of our Amazon sellers, we'll put the warehouses, their zip codes in the states for all those or wherever they have Nexus.
Really good point. So if you sell you sell through Amazon and you also sell from your own website, which a lot of people would want to do, they're trying to get some sales on Amazon and hopefully migrate people over to their own website. But they still sell through Amazon. They're an FBA seller. So they have distribution warehouses all over the country. And so they need to be set up in here, right?
Yeah.
Because you have inventory all over the country. And what do you do to here typically? You know, Amazon has multiple warehouses in one state, what do you put in here?
So the state name and then the different zip codes.
So you would put in multiple zip codes.
Mm-hmm.
Got it. Okay. All right. So that's that. And then we add the state.
Yep.
All right. Great. So also it kind of tells you what the breakdown of rates is in whatever state. It'll tell you what their tax policy is. Like, for example, here in New York, they're saying they automatically tax shipping and they automatically tax shipping and handling. All right. If you wanted to remove physical presence, you could. If you wanted to do it manually, you could. We don't typically recommend that. That would be a special use case. What I wanted to cover, Dan, is they also have addressed the issue of economic nexus. So this is something that we've been talking about. And they have some, it's kind of a workaround. It's a hack for if you have economic presence, because what we've been showing you is you enter every state where you have a physical presence, including if it's, if that physical presence is generated by Amazon. And, but the question is, if you have economic nexus, what do you do? So Dan, let's just go over these options and I'd like to get your reaction to it. So you're using, in the case you're using automatic tax calculation, if a if you're in a flat tax rate state, then that's easy because you can just pick any zip code in that state. You have economic presence and it's a flat tax state, flat tax rate state for sales tax, which there are a number of those. Then that's easy. Just pick a zip code in that state. And then it says this, if the state is a destination state, then add a physical presence that uses any zip code for that state. So that's actually pretty easy, right? You just, wherever you have physical, wherever you have economic presence and it's a destination state, then you just designate, and hey, I've got nexus in this state. And then it uses the destination place. But if it's an origin-based state, it gets a little more complicated. Or if you sell internationally, it gets a little more complicated. And then it gives you the big solution. Dan, was there anything that you want to add to what I've said so far?
No, I mean, I think that's pretty well, you pretty well hit it.
Great. So here's what I see. What Shopify is saying is, hey, if you're a high volume seller and you're worried about economic presence, you're worried about, in some cases, because we use a 5-digit zip code, and we're not so granular that you might be way overcharging your customers or way undercharging your customers, and you want to get more sophisticated, we have a solution for that. It's called Shopify Plus, and then you can implement the Avalara, I don't know what to call it, plugin or their integration with Shopify Plus, and then you can be much more granular and still use Shopify. So you can see why I call it the Goldilocks. I think it's really actually a pretty good solution for almost every possible e-commerce seller out there. And it's something that it is possible to do it on your own. If you get in there and you feel like, oh boy, you know, they're asking me some questions here, I don't want to do this wrong, then you can reach out to us. You can then work with Reagan to really get your platform all set up. And then we can take you all the way from deciding where you have nexus and not over, you know, the one thing we talk about a lot, Dan, as you know, is don't panic and start collecting tax everywhere automatically. Let's do these things a little more intelligently. But if wherever you have to register, we'll help you figure that out. We can get you set up on your platforms. If you sell through Amazon, we got you there. Walmart, we can help you there, eBay even, and of course on Shopify and others. And then not only that, we can then make sure your returns get filed every month. So it's really something that we can help e-commerce sellers with. So thank you very much, Reagan. Thank you for your assistance.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Ryan, thank you for being with us.
Anytime.
Dan, any concluding comments?
Yeah, the override that you mentioned for being able to override a tax rate, one of the rare times that we will see that being used is if you're using an advanced implementation with something like Alabama's simplified seller's use, where they said, if you're a remote seller, we'll let you just collect everywhere in the state at a flat 8% rate. You got to register specifically as such. But when that started getting implemented, we started seeing a lot of overrides like that being put in. So that's just to throw out an example of where you would see that kind of a rate override being used.
Okay, perfect. And so, you know, Shopify allows you to do some fairly sophisticated overrides. When I say fairly, I'm comparing it to the eBay solution and not the Walmart solution. Walmart has a lot more flexibility, so does Amazon. But more flexibility means more choices, more complicated situation. So Dan, thank you for adding that, and thank you to everybody. And this concludes this week's episode of the Ecom Sales Tax Podcast. See you next week.